The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we are welcoming back Christian Easterday. Christian is Managing Director of Chile-focused Copper Gold Explorer Hot Chile. Hot Chile trades under the code HCH or Hotel Charlie Hotel. Its ordinary shares were last quoted at 4.2 cents for a total value of about $130 million. I caught up with Christian on the Explorers podcast way back in June 2019. Hot Chile was valued at about $30 million back then, and as an aside, that podcast was one of the most popular ever in the series. I thought it was me, Christian thought it was him, but the reality was that it was investor interest in Hot Chile's building big-time copper gold story in Chile. The value growth since that last podcast tells us that things have indeed been stirring for the company, which has been working away in Chile for more than 10 years now. The intention has always been to find a Tier 1 porphyry project, with Tier 1 normally taken to mean 5 million tonnes of copper. A maiden resource from one of the porphyries within the complex of porphyries at the flagship Cortadera project has the company well on the way to achieving that goal. Just as exciting is that the growth in the resource base, and there's more on the way, comes as US $4 a pound copper has arrived. It's a price not seen since Hot Chile started out in Chile. Timing is the essence in the mining game, and Hot Chile's achievement of matching scale to the arrival of $4 pound copper means the company's moment has arrived. So with that, I'm going to welcome Christian back to the podcast. Hi, Christian. Thanks for your time today.
Hi, Barry. It's great to chat again.
Right. I will start out by just mentioning first up that Hot Chile has three projects, Cortadera, Productora and El Fugo, all within a 20-kilometre radius and straddling the Pan-American Highway. The three make up what it calls its Costa Fugo hub. So, Christian, Cortadera has become something special since we last spoke. Talk to the October maiden resource and the ongoing exploration there, if you could.
Yes, it has, Barry, and you have to pinch yourself sometimes. Like you said in your introduction, timing is everything in this game. When we last spoke, we were coming off of the acquisition, the deal to secure Cortadera and locate a very large private discovery next to our original large-scale Productora project on the coastline of Chile. So at that time, I think we were discussing our first world-class drilling intercept, some 750-meter intercept on the main porphyry that had a very, very exciting high-grade zone that we had discovered at that time, some 200 metres at nearly 1% copper and half a gram gold. So it's been a long time since we spoke, and as you've just prefaced, we have in that time put approximately 30,000 metres of diamond drilling into the Cortadera project, and in October last year we were able to announce a 450 million tonne maiden resource at around 0.5% copper equivalent, and that is no small feat. We are very, very pleased to be one of the only one of two major copper discoveries since Kamoa was discovered by Robert Friedland's group back in 2014. So, you know, quite an achievement for a junior, and as you said, to move from a $10 million market capitalization when we announced this deal at the beginning of 2019 to a circa $130-140 million company, you know, we certainly have received a lot of attention, and particularly in the last 6-9 months, to see copper now moving to a $4 per pound price environment, you know, we couldn't be happier. So I guess the addition of Cortadera to our original Productora resource now has the company standing with the largest copper resource on the ASX outside of a BHP or a Rio Tinto. We have some 750 million tonnes of open pittable resources on the coastline in Chile. And I guess what's really exciting for us this year is the commencement of our 40,000 meter program to really now start diving deep on that high grade core that has been discovered and has delivered now 7 world-class drill results for Hot Chili. And we're sitting in some very, very exciting times, drilling 1,000 meter, 1,500 meter holes and looking forward to getting the next results out to the market, Barry.
Now, Christian, I think we probably touched on it last time we spoke, but there is a fixation in this local market with high-grade gold, high-grade copper. And when some investors see, I think Cortadera was 451 million tonnes at a 0.46 copper equivalent, they go, oh, that's not exactly high grade. But if you can just explain why bulk tonnage projects like Porphyry's command such high value amongst the big end of the mining market.
Yeah, and it's quite a paradoxical problem with how large scale copper is viewed in the Australian market. As you said, you know, there is a fixation on grade, and that's not just in Australia, that's around the world. But when you look at the real titans of the mining game in terms of revenue generating mines, you don't have to look past what's right in front of the Australian market with Newcrest's Cadia operations. There is an operation where large-scale underground bulk mining techniques such as block caving are being utilised, you know, on an ore body which has a reserve grade, you know, that is putting out one of the lowest cost gold production bases in the Australian market. So a reserve grade of some 0.29 copper and about 0.4 grams per ton gold, but producing at around $140 an ounce. So scale as grade is a real driver of value in the industry. In the copper space in particular, you know, some 80% of the world's copper is produced from large-scale, low-grade operations dominated by the Chilean large-scale porphyry deposits and also globally. So when you talk about high-grade deposits, 3%, 4%, 5%, they really are the exception. They're very akin to a high-grade nickel or a high-grade gold investment thesis. So it's short investment, high return, quick payback, but very short life. And I guess the copper business is all about, you know, the price cycle. These very large operations, you know, kick out revenues of $2 billion a year, and extremely large EBITDAs. So when we talk about $4 copper, the leverage that these projects can produce to that pricing environment is really extraordinary. We're sitting on a project that we are positioning for roughly 100,000 tons of copper production per annum and 100,000 ounces of gold production per annum. And the Australian market probably focuses on that gold production. But when you focus on the amount of copper that a project like this will kick out, you know, it's very easy at $4 per pound copper to be really starting to double check your maths. You're talking about revenue generation on an annual basis well in excess of $1 billion US. We're talking about long life projects of 20 to 30 years. So that gives you some idea of scale. It's kind of like the Australians focusing on the iron ore business. And, you know, when we talk about iron ore, we're talking about mass scale and we're talking about large capex projects and the type of projects that that really used to be really considered, you know, a quarrying business. And then Andrew Forrest came along and made a move into large Pilbara iron ore business and got his timing right. You know, iron ore price started to increase, and I think there's no better example in this market of what scale can produce for a company in terms of building another major. And we're very much on that pathway, but in the copper space.
Now, obviously, some big achievements there. Cortadera itself, 1.6 million tonnes of copper and 1.9 million ounces of gold. And the overall area there, 2.1 9 million tonnes of copper and 2.7 million ounces of gold. Tough question, I know, but are you planning for a step change again in your presence there?
Yes.
And how will you go about that?
We are. And this 40,000 metre drilling program that we have two diamond rigs on the ground drilling 24 hours a day. We have an additional RC drill rig, a third rig that is also scouting around and drilling some very large growth projects close to Cordillera at Cordillera North. And recently we just announced the addition of a very, very exciting land package that we've been building for some 9 months to a year called Santiago Z. So we see a very large consolidation or a cluster of deposits that we have our hands on. This has taken me 12 years to build, and we're really doubling down now. Cordillera was very much the discovery we needed to unlock this project and to position ourselves with a upper tier two copper project at the moment. And this 40,000 meter program is primarily being focused onto Cordillera because the deposit remains open, and particularly with the high grade core that emerged at Cordillera and currently sits at 100 million ton. We're looking to double that quite rapidly. So the drilling that is being focused into that with two diamond rigs. Last week we announced a 813 meter drilling intercept from 54 meters, but it was really the focus of that drill hole was all about the high grade core. We're drilling into areas where the high grade core isn't modeled, where we're predicting it to be if we have drilling intercepts through that area, and we recorded 318 meter intercept at 0.6 copper, 0.2 gold, and quite high molybdenum. It was actually about 0.85% copper equivalent intersection. Right. So it's very predictable. We've got more drill holes going into that at the moment, and I think with very few holes, we'll be sitting on a target of around 200 million tons plus on that high grade core. And that high grade core is really going to be key for us, not just having a large open pit at Cordillera being supplemented with a large open pit from Productora 14 kilometers away, but being able to add a high grade block cave to this mining scenario then starts pushing this mining scenario out 20, 30 years of bulk production. And that is going to be a real step change for what we're trying to do in terms of conversion of resources to reserves. So it's a very exciting year for us this year. We don't just have this drilling program underway at Cordillera and also scouting around these large growth targets, but we're also very, very busy in the background on about to kick off our pre-feasibility work streams on our large combined open pit study. But also about to kick off officially our underground scoping study for a large block cave on Cordillera. So yeah, it's certainly a step change in terms of the type of work that we're doing and the de-risking that is coming with that resource growth. But most importantly, if we can achieve a 5 million ton copper resource and circa 5 million ounces of gold resource, Hot Chili is moving into a plus 50 billion US in-ground value club. And that's positioning us with the top five or six resources that are not controlled by a major globally. And that is a very, very significant space to be in when copper starts moving to $4 per pound and we have a thematic about a green revolution coming. These type of assets very, very rare, and I think that's underpinned by the fact that these things just aren't being discovered very much. When you look at Rio Tinto in the discovery of Winu and Hot Chili in the discovery of Cordillera as the only two major copper discoveries really since 2014, it tells you everything you need to know about this space, Barry, and why the price is going up.
It's a pity. From a see-through sort of value argument, that Winu is not separated out. Obviously, it's hidden away in the much larger Rio Tinto. But then, I guess Sol Gold in Ecuador, similar grade, similar They've got a high-grade core as well that they're looking to kick things off on, and it's got $600 million US market cap, and you've got BHP and Newcrest on the register. So we're starting to see a lot more interest from the big end of town in securing copper growth options. The BHP calls it, you know, future-facing metal, and they want more of it. So that leads me to a question about what you see as the end game. Do you see Hot Chili being taken over, or joint venturing the project, or developing it itself? Any feel for that at the moment?
Yeah, it's, as always, Barry, some of these questions are pretty tricky for a CEO to answer without a straight face. But look, just coming back to SolGold, you know, we have Dr. Steve Garwin leading our technical team. He's been very instrumental in how we've explored and unlocked Cortadera and how we're building that growth out. So we have a number of links to the SolGold story through our personnel and through our approach and through the deposit that's been discovered and being grown at the moment. So firstly, I think just in relation to the interest from majors, you know, it was very pleasing. A couple of weeks ago, we saw Newmont really kick off the first M&A that I've seen in this space for quite some time. They made a move on GT Gold with a 100% cash takeover of GT Gold up in British Columbia. And that's a project that is around about 820 million tonnes, about 15% lower grade than Costa Fuego, but very similar metal payload in terms of copper equivalent, about 3.5 million tonnes of copper equivalent. In that deposit, you know, the grade of the gold and the copper has about 55% of the value is in the copper and about 45% of the value is in the gold. We probably sit with about 80-85% of the value in the copper at Costa Fuego. But that's a project that has a $460 million acquisition on it at the moment from Newcrest. Really a project that is pre-development with just a PEA, no pre-feasibility. So the fact that has occurred so early in this price rise, you know, took me a little bit by surprise. I would have expected that the M&A activity would have waited for the copper price environment to settle down a little bit and to consolidate, find a new base. So very exciting to see M&A firmly on the front foot at the moment in our space. So that's obviously very good from a see-through value perspective to Hot Chili, arguably probably a better location in a less sensitive area, with a lot more advancement on de-risking of our economics and obviously better grade. So I think that's very exciting for Hot Chili in terms of a see-through value, coming back to your comment originally. But in terms of our intention, you know, we're very much positioning the company towards, firstly, just achieving what our immediate goal is, which is to position this as a tier one asset. And after that, to start going through the de-risking stages and getting these development studies underway this year and bringing us into a bankable feasibility that incorporates large open pits. We're targeting some 300 million tonnes to come out of the open pits and connecting that with a circa 200 million tonne plus underground back end. So, you know, that type of project, pushing through to a bankable feasibility and then to a financing decision and then a transition into mining is, you know, all that I'm thinking about. You know, we're certainly in discussions with a number of parties which we have dialogue on, and certainly there's a number of parties that are, would like to help us out. The timing of that and the board's decision around that will all be about where we are with value and what we see as the optimal funding path forward. So in terms of, you know, do we want to build it? That's all that the company will position itself for. Do we want to sell it? Do we want to joint venture it? You know, all of these aspects are all about how you optimally fund these things. We're certainly not sitting there and naive about where we are and what asset we have. The reason why very few of these assets are in the hands of juniors and not majors is because at a certain point along the pathway of bringing this through to a financing decision, yes, often you attract the attention of a major into a joint venture or into another form of value creation for your shareholders. So we'll see what happens, Barry, and hopefully that's not too much of a politician's answer.
No, I appreciate the restrictions on these things, but no, I think you've given people a good feel there for how it might pan out. Now, funding, you raised $25.6 million in December, which was partly to fund Cortadera, but I assume now that you've got a bit of free air, you can just get on with the drilling and...
Yeah, that's correct, Barry. We really do. We took out that $25 million placement. That was really important for us to make an early payment to the Corolla family who own this asset. We now only have one acquisition payment left in mid-July of next year of $15 million US. And this is very unique about this story. We will hold 100% of this project. And, you know, there are very few juniors that let alone have an asset like this, but let alone can claim that they have it 100%. Mm. So that next payment, you know, is a key milestone for us. We have a lot of interest from parties in wanting to assist to take that acquisition out early, particularly given where the copper price is. And, you know, we'll assess that in due course. But we have some 18 months or so, or sorry, 17 months of free air in front of us before any calls on payments, which means that we can dedicate all of our treasury towards building this next resource upgrade, which we hope to get out later in the year, and hopefully we'll be able to hit that tier one mark. So we really focus this year on creating value for our shareholders, continuing to lift the market cap, and you know we come back to these C3 value aspects that you've discussed and Soul Gold comparisons and GT Gold takeover comparisons and discussions about the mismatch of the ASX valuations on large copper versus high grade copper. You know, and you don't have to look past some of the projects that are being advanced by the North Americans. Ross Beaty, a serial successful mining entrepreneur from North America, behind some of the largest value creation companies in the TSXV and in the copper space. You know, he's running Solaris Gold at the moment and getting very, very similar drilling intercepts, 700, 800, 900 meter intercepts from near surface and at surface in Ecuador at the moment at the Wiritza project. The key asset behind Solaris Gold is La Verde over in Mexico, a bit smaller than Costa Fuego at a lower grade. And, you know, we have Solaris at a near 800 million Canadian market capitalization. The Oricos of the world sitting at 350 million market capitalization. And even Marimaca over in Chile on the coastline, an 80 million ton resource that just recently got upgraded. On the coastline, sitting at 350 million market capitalization, all large-scale copper assets at grades similar or lower to what Costa Fuego is, and you do sort of wonder about this value disconnect that we see between the Australian market and the North American market when the copper price environment starts to lift. So we're very well aware of that. And I've mentioned in my recent presentations that we are positioning towards a North American listing, and that preparation and work is just getting underway over the last couple of months, and who knows, maybe we'll have a ticker code over in the US very shortly.
All right, excellent, good news. So there we go, folks. Having spent more than 10 years at the task, and having endured 2 pound copper prices, as I said at the opening, I think the moment has arrived for the company. So we'll watch with interest as the rest of the year unfolds. Christian, thanks for your time today and good luck with it all.
Really appreciate that, Barry. Thank you.